Charity lost the baby today, early this morning, and so my family's at home. I do have a couple grandkids here somewhere. There they are, right there, here to support me. We've talked it all through. We understand it. Today is, I told them, today is now two anniversaries. It's my wife and I's wedding on earth, and it's now my other grandchild's wedding in heaven. I told them, I said, what's so cool is when we get to heaven, there's going to be some kid run up to us and go, hey, and we're going to go, who are you? Well, you don't know me, but I know you. I've been watching you forever. Yeah, it's, there's no words really. Like I said, the family's at home and just having to deal with life in general, right? Doesn't change who Jesus is, that's for sure. So I prepared this message. It's interesting because Charity couldn't speak, gave it kind of, well, let's just go back to when my own daughter's death. My daughter died real late Friday night, early Saturday morning, and I'm sitting in my office and people are starting to come in about 3 and 4 in the morning, and you can just hear the brokenness. And I, sitting in my office, told the Lord, I'm like, man, they're hurting. I just gently heard his voice. It's not really a sound, but it's something I wouldn't come up with. He's like, well, they need their pastor. And I verbally said, well, then one of two things needs to happen. You need to find them one, or you need to get this one ready. And actually, that Sunday morning, I spoke, and I told the grandkids a while ago, I don't have a clue, couldn't remember what I said, but it's not the point, is it? So I have to have my glasses tonight. I'm very vain, but I'm going to wear my glasses because I don't have the big old, when I put the word up, dude, I don't need glasses. But see, now I do. I can see y'all. I can see. Okay. Yeah, so when all of this occurred this morning, about 10 or 11 o'clock, whenever it was, I went into that, Gay texted me and said, if you could speak. And I had people that offered to speak, but sometimes I think I need to speak, and this is one of those times. So what I started looking at is again, we say she lost the baby, but we all know that nothing is lost when you know where it can be found. And I just kind of actually found an old sermon I spoke in 2006. So that's, 13 years ago? And it really spoke to my heart, so I'm going to do... By the way, go in your pew Bible, since I didn't put it up on the screen, to 264, page 264, if you want to see where I'm reading. That's the only scripture I'll give you today. It's a really interesting story. It's Elisha. And here's the story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says, one day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet you is too small. So let's go down to the Jordan River, where there are plenty of logs, and there we can build a new place for us to meet. Well, all right, he told them, go ahead. And they said, well, please come with us, and someone said, and so he said, well, I will, and he did. So when they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down the trees, but as one of them was chopping, his axe head fell into the river. Let me pause there and tell you, it was expensive back in those days. Iron was extremely expensive because they didn't really have it like we do today. So it said, but as one of them was chopping, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, my Lord, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. And so Elisha says, well, where did it fall? And he says, when he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it into the water. And then the axe head rose to the surface and floated. Grab it, Elisha said to him. And the man reached out and grabbed it. So what was lost, somehow in a crazy way, got found, right? Just a background. Elisha was a student of Elijah. You remember Elijah. Everybody knows Elijah. Not too many people really know much of Elisha, but the interesting thing is Elisha, to the miracle, had twice as many miracles that he did through his life than Elijah did. So if you remember, Elijah went up to be with the Lord in this chariot thing, and Elisha got the mantle of Elijah, and like I said, he did more things than he did. And Elisha had 50 years of ministry. And at this particular scenario we're talking about, Elisha was the lead prophet, if you will, of this school of prophets. So what had happened was they had been meeting and it wasn't big enough to meet, so they decided they needed to have something bigger to meet at. So that's why they went down to the Jordan and began to chop trees down, because two cool things: they were chopping trees down to clear an area out to make it bigger, plus they had the lumber from chopping the trees down to get it all accomplished. But here's the thing that you need to see. Each student did their own part to complete the project, but the trouble came when one of them lost his axe head. One of them lost his cutting edge, if you will. And that's what really spoke to me today. He lost his cutting edge, but then he got it back. So then my question was, well, how? When we feel like we've lost something, when we feel like we're lost, how do we get back to where we were? How do we get back to that cutting edge? So the first thing that he did was he admitted that he lost it, right? So he made no excuses. He admitted he lost it. To admit we have a problem is the first step, but it's a difficult one. The student didn't blame the guy he borrowed the axe from. He could have blamed him. Ah, he just gave me a cruddy axe. He didn't blame the tree. Tree's too hard. Couldn't cut through it. No, he didn't. He didn't do anything. He had every excuse to be able to sit down, actually, underneath a palm tree. Well, there were no palm trees. Underneath the tree and just drink some lemonade. What problem? I don't have a problem. There's no problem here. It reminds me, it's been a crazy week for me. Monday night was a council meeting. Gay was at the council, and Leah went with us, and we're sitting there, and I get toned out that we've had a suicide. So I had to lean over and tell her, hey, I got to go. And so I get on the scene, and tons of stuff happening, but the point I want to make is this. Firefighters, by the time I got there, they had already cleared, and the police were just still there. Well, then we had to call fire back because the mom was having some struggles, and it looked like she might be going to have a heart attack, so we had to call them back. And when we did, one of the firefighters that has been here forever, we just got to talking, and this is what's really incredible to me. He said, man, I want to sit down with you. And I'm like, okay. He said, because I'm just not forgiving this person, and I need to forgive them, because I know I can't get on with life to forgive them. And he's 95% of the way to wholeness. Because when you can admit, I can't tell you the times I've had people in my office, and I've used this illustration a million times, but it's true. I'll have the drug addict or whoever in my office, and it's everybody else's fault. If he'd quit doing that, if mama quit doing that, if dad would quit doing that, if she or he would quit doing that, and you listen to it, and I finally say to him, hey man, if I got 15 people in this room, and 14 of them say it's 9 o'clock, and you tell me it's 9:05, whose watch probably needs to change? But by the same token, I've had guys come in there, plop down and go, God, Steve, I need help. And I immediately say, you're 95% of the way to wholeness. Look, it's if you don't think you're drowning, you will never call for the lifeguard. If you think you're all that in a bag of chips, there's no need for Jesus. Because you've got giftings and you've got skills and you hear what I'm saying? So to get to the point to where you can recognize, man, I've lost something. You're not going to look for something lost if you don't think it's lost, right? So the student didn't blame him. He had every excuse to sit down in the shade. I said that, drink some lemonade. Yeah, I don't have a problem. It's everybody else's problem. Now, here's what he could have done, and here's what a lot of people do. He could have just kept swinging the axe handle at that tree. Just kept swinging the axe handle. He's looking like he's doing something. Go through the motions, make a lot of noise, but accomplish nothing. Apostle Paul said it this way: though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and I don't have love, I'm just a sounding brass in the King James Version and a tinkling cymbal. Noise. It's just all noise with no value, no substance. Everything we've been talking about on Sundays, guys, pertains to this when we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit's power that is what changes us, not our own. And that's actually in my next point. So the first thing he did was he admitted that he lost it. The second thing he did is he admitted it was borrowed. Well, what do you mean? Well, our talents, our abilities, our resources are on loan from God. I can't tell you the people that I've known in the past and even know now who are ultimately gifted in all kinds of areas, but there's no substance to it. There's no power in it. Oh, they think they're powerful. They think that they know things, but we don't possess power. His power possesses us. One of the greatest examples of that in the Bible is Samson. You remember Samson, right? We all remember Samson because Delilah conned him into losing his strength. Well, the truth is, every single time he did, and he was amazing. I mean, he killed a lot of folks. But one of the most amazing stories to me was when he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. One amazing thing is that jawbone didn't break. But if you 3D it, instead of going, well, let's go, think of this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's John Wick. And I don't know if you should, probably shouldn't see that movie if you've seen it. 1,000 in the strength of the Lord. Because every single time anything like this would happen, the word would say, the power of God would come upon him. Now, the coolest thing is, now that we're in the New Testament, it's not the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that comes upon us. The Holy Spirit resides in us. Every power thing that we need is in us. And if we can get outside of ourselves and thinking we're all that in a bag of chips, that inside power will manifest to the outside. And again, talking about the whole fruits of the Spirit, that's from an inward thing that's happening in us, not anything that we can accomplish. And when we finally recognize, and therein was Samson's downfall. At some point, he knew that his strength was, his strength wasn't because his hair was long. His strength was because the Lord had told him, he's going to be a Nazarene. Don't cut your hair, because if you cut your hair, you lose your strength. It's not the hair; it's the disobedience. You get it? So he did. I mean, he killed the lion by ripping its jaws open. Have you ever? You get what I'm saying? This man had power. But what happened was, and he gave in, you know, we can blame Delilah or whatever. The truth is, he told her where his strength was. They cut his hair off, and he ends up, they poke his eyes out, and he ends up doing a turn little thing to ground corn. And then, of course, y'all should know that story. The end result was he wanted to go out and watch. He couldn't watch. Wanted to go out, and they wanted to mock him, so they took him out and started mocking him. Oh, the great Samson. And he asked his little buddy, would you put me between two posts? And he did, and then the Bible says the power of the Lord came on him. Now, he ended up dying too, but man, what a testimony. The point is, Samson, especially at the end, knew exactly that it was borrowed. It wasn't his own. And we only have the handle. The cutting edge is God's. We're the handle. And by the way, anybody can make a handle, but it takes a craftsman to make the axe, especially in those days. Again, that was back before we had machinery and stuff. So that's important to understand when it's concerning things that seem to be lost in us. So the handle's useless when it's separated from the axe head. Jesus said, stay in the vine. This is where your sustenance is. There will be no fruit outside of the vine. There will be no value in us outside of staying in him. That's axe handle. Stay near the axe head, if you will. So, I'm on my third point of four. So you'll be really happy. And they probably will be back here too with all those children. So the first thing he did was he admitted, right? And then he admitted that it was borrowed. But here's what's important. The miracle never would have happened had he not pointed out where it happened. Now, you got to be careful here, because Jesus said very clearly, put your hands to the plow and don't look back, for you're not fit for the kingdom. When I'm telling you to go back to the place where you lost it, I'm not talking about a dark place. I'm talking about, and I'll actually end this with the prodigal son thing. I'm talking about you going back to the home, because you will do nothing but beat yourself up if you just go back to where the place is. Let me just stay right here on this. So he went back to the place where he lost it. Now, here's how we do it. Somebody says, man, I lost my keys. Well, where were you last? Where did you, well, oh, sorry, Red. I'll just use you as an example. It took her 2 weeks. And we looked everywhere for her keys. I mean, I'm Facebooking her. Did you find your keys? No, well, we're looking. We're finding. I scoured her car after she was gone trying to find them. I couldn't find them. Where are those keys? They got to be somewhere. Where was the last? So what do? We retrace our steps, right? And then 2 weeks later, she found them in the car that I couldn't find them in, that nobody else could find them in. Her kid found them in. And I'm assuming you like gave them a prize or something. Yeah, yeah. But that's how we do that. The best place to find something is to go back where you lost it. And again, I'm not telling you to go back into a dark place, but you do go back to where you lost it. It reminds me of a story they told of a little kid that lost a quarter, and he's over here looking for it. And they said, well, where'd you lose it? He said, I lost it over there. And they, well, what are you doing? Well, there's more light over here. You know, I think sometimes we do that, right? It's like, nah, the light's over here. I know where the coin is, but the light's over here. Yeah. So I just pulled out a few scriptures to help us understand things we lose. Because normally people will go to the addiction side. You know, when I say the axe head was recovered by miracle, all NA people, are y'all NA? All NA people are like, oh yeah, recovery, I know what that is. It goes way, way beyond that. The scripture, David wrote a couple of these scriptures. First one I want to read to you is Psalms 40:12. I don't even have my glasses on. This is crazy. I can see it for some reason. He said, for trouble surrounds me, too many to count. My sins pile up as high, and I can't see my way out. Ever been there? They outnumber the hairs on my head. I have lost my courage. Isn't that interesting? All these sins and stuff, you know. I've lost my courage. What is courage? Courage is that ability to stand in the face of fear. What do we fear? We fear a lot of things. You know, we fear a lot of things. Whether that's we fear for our children because they're not doing right now, or we fear we're going to lose our job, something as simple as that. But there is fear. Courage says, no, I'm going to believe the word and I'm going to walk in what Jesus tells me. Greater is he really that is in me than he that really is in the world. I have more power than him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says, right? I will raise a standard, right? So when the enemy comes in like a flood, he says, I will raise a standard. Grab that in your heart. So we lose courage, and courage isn't like the cowardly lion in Wizard of Oz. You know, courage, courage. And then back when I was a child, they would always go to commercial after he ran being scared of the wizard and jumped out the window. Then they'd go to commercial. But y'all don't even know Wizard of Oz, probably. That's okay. So another one that David, or I love David, he wrote this in Psalm 73. He says, truly God is good to Israel, talking the church, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. So now we've gone from losing courage, I almost lost my footing. You ever been there? Or almost lost your footing verbally with somebody? Almost lost your footing because you were in a dark place and you can't see when you're in a dark place. You know, the word says very clearly, the word is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. He's the best light. That's the best light. Gay's constantly telling you Wednesday night, folks, about the importance of the word. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a time that will come in your life where reading the word isn't a drudgery anymore. It's a delight. But the only time that's going to come is when you understand that God is for you and not against you. And even when you read in the Old Testament all the horror, you're going to see where it constantly is talking about His compassion. He is for you, not against you. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. You hear me? It's just so true. And when you get to the point to where you believe that He loves you that way, you're going to read the Word in a completely, totally different light, and you're going to feed on it rather than feel guilty about it, and rather than doing your, well, I did the Bible in 1 year. Yeah, and your life didn't change, so what good did that do? Is that fair? I mean, it's true. Okay. So he says, so I lost my footing. Watch this. My feet were slipping, and he says why. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. Here's why. For I envied the proud when I saw they were prospering despite their wickedness. There's an area we get lost, and we don't realize we get lost. Areas where we are jealous, if you will, won't admit it, but we're jealous that someone else, I walked in this forever, that we're jealous of someone else, that we know their integrity or their character, and they're getting more stuff or getting more people in the church or getting than somebody else. I deserve that promotion at work. And that scumbag, dope smoking fool, if we would just do drug background, man, that guy'd get fired. But no, he's the one that gets to go over the top of me. God? No, don't be blaming God, man. God doesn't lose us. The Bible says very clearly, lo, so that doesn't mean just lo, when we're in an airplane, he doesn't leave. Lo, I'm with you always, is what the scripture says. Always, he's always with us. He crazy loves us like that. No matter how dumb we do stupid things, he crazy loves us like that. So he said, for I envied proud, and see, we say, yeah, they're so proud. Well, who's the proud one? When I'm declaring someone else proud, I'm proud that he's proud because I'm not as proud as he's proud, right? We can make it fit our pattern, but that's not who Jesus is, and we can be lost and not know we're lost. Therein lies the problem. That's what I love about my newest grandbaby going home. She's not, I say she, we don't know gender. Charity wasn't far enough along to know gender, but I forever since she's had, I always said she, so I'm thinking I'll get to heaven and it'll be a boy, and I'll go, well, there, I missed again. But I'm so grateful that he or she is home. Home. Don't have to struggle. So I just shared that one. Then I'm moving to Proverbs. Solomon, David's son, wrote most of Proverbs. There were some other guys that threw in there, but he wrote most of it. And in Psalms 14, it says this. So we've talked about losing our footing because someone else is getting something that they don't deserve. That's what grace is. See, we all want grace, but we don't want to give grace. We all want what we don't deserve. Well, you know, mercy is not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. In other words, well, how do you explain it? Mercy says you deserve to die, but you're not going to die. Grace says, I'm going to give you this, and you certainly don't deserve it. Here's this wonderful $18 million right there. Just take it. If that's a check, it's bouncing like you've never seen a check bounce. But I can write you a check for it. You can take it to the bank, and they would just look at my name and go, really? So we talked about losing our courage, losing our footing. Then in Proverbs he says this, an evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. We'll actually talk about self-control Sunday, but watch this. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost, and here it says, here's why. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom is what we gain from God. James has the greatest explanation of what wisdom is in chapter, is it 5:3? I think it's chapter 3 where he talks about the wisdom of God and what it is, and that our wisdom on earth is earthly and demonic and ugly, but his wisdom is awesome and pure. Why? Because it's him. So he's lost because of his great foolishness. The biggest areas we can be foolish, y'all, is when we refuse to let Jesus be who he is. That really is true. It's foolish for us not to believe how deep he loves us. That's silly. Because here he is, the greatest one ever, wanting to hold us and wrap his arms around us, and we fight it out of knowledge or whatever, which kind of leads me to the next one, which is also in Proverbs. And it says, it's a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. We love that. Verse 22. If you plan out to do evil, you will be lost. But if you plan out to do good, you will receive unfailing love and faithfulness. We talked about faithfulness a couple of weeks ago and how faithful God is. So it's all in our plans, and we plan without paper a whole lot, don't we? And then here's one that I firmly believe is prevalent too, and y'all can relax because it's not really about y'all too much. It's out of Jeremiah. It says, the shepherds of my people have lost their senses. Lost their senses, watch. They no longer seek wisdom, we just touched on that, from the Lord. Therefore, they fail completely and their flocks scatter. What has happened is we have exchanged the wisdom of God, which is only found in your prayer closet, ladies and gentlemen. The wisdom of God is only found in that place where nothing is messing with you. And I'm even talking about worship music, where it's just you and there's where the wisdom is. And it says, they seek wisdom, and what has happened is, in the name of saying it's God's wisdom, it's knowledge. And it's knowledge from wherever, seminary. And I'm not bagging on seminary. I've got 6 degrees, all right? So I'm not bagging on seminary. What I'm saying is, we have replaced it with our own education, and that's why you have people arguing. And that's why the Apostle Paul had to tell the Corinthian church forever, man, would y'all quit arguing over stuff? Just quit arguing, quit over piddly stuff. I don't care about if you believe in Trinitarianism or tritheism. There, I'll show you how smart I am. Trinitarianism or tritheism. Trinitarianism being we believe that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Tritheism meaning it's just all globbed into one. Whatever. I'm not going to tell you you're going to hell or you're wrong. I don't care. You know what I care about? I care about that Monday night family that needed some love. I care about when I walk out into the street and need that love. I care about people in our church congregation, because sometimes I think people think that I don't care about the people in our church congregation. I care about those in our congregation who struggle and feel less than. I pray harder for those that feel proud, because pride is what brought the Satan down, man. And pride keeps us from seeing we have pride. I'm telling you, I've walked through my whole series of life so many times where I thought I was being humble when the truth is I wasn't. You know, I think I might have shared this story it's been 27 years, so it don't matter. When I first came to this church, the very first came to the church, had a secretary here that we just had a whole lot of different people working here that didn't need to be working here, and it wasn't because I was here. It was what it was, and this was all God. And one of them, the guy that was in over maintenance, he came in because he was kind of angry at me because I was telling him to do what his job description said to do, and he was a big guy and he struggled with it. But he came in and he resigned, and I blessed him and thanked him, and so I had a secretary that I wanted God to do it that way. And the Lord kept speaking to my heart, you need to release her. And I kept telling him, again, false humility. I thought I was all that. I was like, God, I can't. She doesn't have skills. They were paying her crazy money. And she was keeping two children that the parents had just died in a plane crash. And I think her mother or her father had cancer. So I'm telling God all this. You can't. I can't do this, God. No, we can't do this. And here's what came to me. You are so arrogant. Whoa. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Come on. And here's what came to me. And again, this has got to be God, because I ain't smart enough for this. You think that I don't want to take care of her. You think that this is all about you and the church, when I have plans for her too. And the truth is, you fast forward, I don't know if she's still there, but she works in the library. She was working, when I did my book signing there, which was 10 years ago, she was there, thriving in life. I actually signed a book and gave it to her, and she actually took it. You get it. But you understand, all in my, what I thought was doing right, and oh God, you can't do that to her. No, Steve, who do you think you are? Who's God here? You see it. So that's why I am at the place where I just want His wisdom. And I know His wisdom only comes through Him. But it does come through the Word. As you read the Word and you eat the Word and you start understanding the Word and you get the Word. But as you incorporate it in your body, you're not judging other folks. You're just not. You just get to where you really don't. Even though you might want to poke them. You know, well, when I say that, I told you, I think last Sunday, I've had a lot of pastors unfriend me because they just get in this argument. Here, that's a prime example of what I'm talking about. They get in this argument over Scripture and over how things are and over how they should be and what the Word really says. And if you look at the timeline, 3 hours into it, man. And I just post at the bottom. Because it doesn't take me 3 hours to read 3 hours worth, right? It just takes about 10 minutes, not even that. And I just post at the bottom. Meantime, the fish swim by. That's all. I've had 12, maybe. They're no longer my friend. They unfriended me. Because it's the truth. The truth is, we spend so much time trying to be so smart when we got folks that are hurting, man. People are hurting everywhere. And that's why our country's where it's at. There is so much hate. Your hatred will not stop their hatred. Do you hear me? Because that's what we do. We just, and boy, there's a line drawn, whether the line or Republican, Democrat, blah, whatever. That will not do it. The only thing that's going to change what we see in our country today is us loving the very people that we don't like what they believe in. Yeah. It's the truth. And that's got nothing to do with lost, other than there is lost folks. That I think is probably what the whole lost thing should be about. Tonight. So let me finish this. I just got stuck here, didn't I? I'm almost to my conclusion. So Jeremiah said, the shepherds of my people have lost their senses. Holy smoke. So see, used to I'd go, yeah, that's right. Look at them. Do you get it? Yeah, that's right. I can write you a list. I can give you the address of them churches. No, when I read this now, because I want His wisdom, I'm like, where am I senseless? Don't you help me. Where am I senseless, God? Where am I missing? Where is my knowledge more important than who you are and what's coming out of me? Where is that at? And then the last scripture I used is actually now, those are all in the Old Testament, but here's how Jesus put it. I think it's probably important. Here's how He put it in the New Testament. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is it if it's lost its flavor? I wrote a whole book on this. I had forgotten all about that scripture. How crazy is that? You're the salt. How lost can we be if we don't have flavor? And what does flavor mean? What does the biggest quality of salt is what? Making us thirsty, right? If you eat too much salt, but you're right, no flavor, but try this sometime, just for hits and giggles for me. Are you coffee drinkers? Anybody coffee drinkers? All right. Just take a pinch of salt, just a pinch of salt, and put it in your coffee cup, and watch how that pops, the flavor pops. It is amazing. And it only takes a little pinch of salt. Like, if you dump salt in there, bless God, I'm going to tell you what. You know what I'm saying? If you dump salt in there, it's going to be yucky. And as I said in the book, the sad thing is we have become a salt lick for the cattle and expect them to come in and lick a few licks and go out. It doesn't work that way. We're the salt of the earth. And what good is your salt if you've lost your flavor? I got to go back to that place. And I've had to go back to that place many, many times, because I'll catch myself in an ugly mode, or you know what I'm saying, or in a judgment mode, or in a God, I'm so sick of this, kill them mode, or you get it. Steve, you're losing your flavor. Okay, I got to go. Where do I go back to? So the question is, most of the time for me, I left it in my prayer closet. But here's the question for you, all of us. Well, let me finish that scripture. You're the salt of the earth. What good is it if it lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again, Jesus said? It'll just be thrown out and trampled underfoot or worthless. You can't make salt again. But that's what I love about Jesus. He's the regenerator. So did I leave it in my prayer closet? That's me. Or maybe I left it in my last relationship. Or maybe did I leave it at that last church where they hurt me? Or did I drop it at anger at my boss or my spouse? Or how about this one? I lost my flavor because of unfair circumstances. Let me tell you something, life is not fair. And some 100 years ago, when I was complaining to the Lord, all in the name of prayer. Prayer, by the way, means communication, so it, call it what you will, it was prayer. And I'm like, oh, God, life's just not fair. And it's like, yep, you're right. So then what do you do? Then what do you do when you know life's not fair? It's not fair that my daughter lost this child. It's not fair that my other daughter is in heaven because she was killed in an automobile accident. I can run a whole list of things that aren't fair. It's not the point. The point is, God has us here to be that salt of the earth, that we might somehow bring flavor to a sour nation. And it is sour. But we're going to be all right, because He's bigger than all of us. But here's kind of where my conclusion is kind of headed. The recovery miracle that happened when Elisha said, where did you lose it? The kid walked over and pointed right there. It's right there. Until we go back to right there, that miracle is not going to happen. But notice it did. Immediately it happened. How weird. Oh, so it's sunk to the bottom. Do we got any snorkel gear? Can we? No, I'm going to throw a stick in and you're going to watch it float. Well, that's crazy, man. Sometimes I wish I lived back in those days. Not that I would be a prophet, but I sure would like to watch that stuff. Anyway, so that's what he did. So here's what I love, and this is what I really got out of it. And again, this is my quasi-conclusion, is this. This kid who was chopping the tree, who lost his edge, made no excuses. The man of God said, where was it? It was right there, man. It was right there. And I borrowed it. Oh, I borrowed it. I'm going to owe that guy a bunch of money. I borrowed it. He didn't make any excuses. He trusted God's power to recover it. He didn't go, oh, let me go in there, you know, and just start trying to find it, you know, because it's not going to go far. It's sunk to the bottom. Isn't it amazing? The edge that we have sinks to the bottom. And we hold the handle in our hand. So he trusted God's power to recover it. Here's where I know. You know, Zacchaeus had just come down from the tree, and all the church was mad because Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Zacchaeus just looked at Jesus and said, you know what? I'm gonna pay back all the stuff I've stolen. And if I've stolen too much, I'm going to give him four times as much. He just told Jesus that. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this household. How? Because he admitted he was a crook and he was going to do something about it. Salvation has come to this house. And then Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Again, guys, if we don't recognize we're lost, and that's in all areas. And I don't mean lost, you're going to burn in hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's areas in all of our lives where we seem lost. We've got to go back to that place. And back to that place is pretty much identical with that whole prodigal son. I'll get there in a second. Let me just finish these little 4 points here, and that's this. He asked the man of God for help because he knew he couldn't do it himself. we get to where we try to do everything ourselves, and then we get desperate, and we go to God. Somebody asked me this the other day, and there's this lady in our life, and I she was talking to me about all these problems, and I said, girl, all I'm going to do, let's pray. And she looked at me and goes, has it come to that? That's the way a lot of us live our lives. Has it come to that? You mean I got to pray now? Man, could you imagine if we started with communication with him? Get your donut, set it there, talk to him. You know the story. So only after he pointed out where he'd lost it did the miracle happen. So here's what I'm saying tonight. It doesn't matter how long your edge has been missing or when you go back. It doesn't matter how long your edge has been missing. When you go back, God will float the solution to the surface. I've seen that happen so much in my own life. I could have not had, say, 2 weeks of heartache if I'd have just started there. You know, and then I get there and I'm like, well, that wasn't so good. So here's where you're going to return. We all know the prodigal son story. I'm just going to read the scripture and hopefully you'll see it in a different light now. So the prodigal's got his stuff. He went out, blew it all, ate the pig stuff. And now he's decided, man, at least I'm going to go home and be a servant because I know my dad will feed me. I don't have to eat this pig food no more. So here's what it says. So he returned home. Let me stop there. He returned home. He could still stayed out there, all arrogant, but he returned home. Now he had a whole different understanding of what his daddy was going to do. He just wanted his daddy to hire him, but his daddy had a different idea because he's his daddy. When we get to the place where we really believe that Daddy God is that extravagant with us and loves us like that, you'll be amazed. So it says, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with anger, and you're going to get what you deserve. That's not what grace is. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Ugh. Pig breath. You know, are y'all not 3D in this thing? I 3D everything. Just smelling like a pig. And he kissed him. And he said to him, his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you. And both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. He'd practice this, if you remember. He'd practice this, no longer son. And then in the practice, he said, I'm no longer your son, so if you'll just hire me back as a servant, I'll do it. His dad wouldn't even let him get to that place. His dad said this, for I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. And he's fixing to say, so just hire me. And it says this, but his father said to the servants, quick. It's amazing. This never gets old. Bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead. And don't you know his dad thought he was dead that whole time? Don't you know? And has now returned to life. He was lost, but because he chose, but now he's found. And then the last four words is my favorite. So let the party begin. Or excuse me, so the party began, I should say. So here I am. God is an amazing God. Let's just pray. Father, I just pray that somehow anything that you'll just toss out anything that doesn't need to be retained. But Lord, I just pray that you'll help us retain anything that we need to hold in that. Father, I pray you give us a new perspective of who you are so that those areas where we are lost, when we go back, we don't think you're standing there with a hammer to punish us. But you're there to hold us and to embrace us and to give us life beyond craziness. So Father, I pray for those who might have lost their courage or might have lost their footing, or us leaders in church that have lost our senses because we think we're so smart. Father, I pray for my daughter and I pray for my family. And I'm so grateful. I mean, I really am. I am so grateful that you've given us, that we have enough of you to recognize that this is not a lost case, that she is found, or he or she is found in you. But Lord, I do pray for the hearts of my family, hearts of Charity and Lee and Connor and Zach and Grayson and Kenzie and my wife, just everybody that's involved in this. I know, and Daryl, I forgot Daryl. I don't want to forget Daryl, Lord. Jake and Tiff, all my family, God. We don't even pray for understanding, Lord. We're going to trust you in this. We're going to believe you in this. And Father, I just pray out of this that your salt will be incorporated more flavorful in all of us, that we might love people and serve people to the degree that they can't help but smile. And Father, those areas where we do feel like we're lost, and Lord, I just pray you help us return home, whether that's into the prayer closet or return home, wherever that place is where you first touched our hearts. Because it's only there, Lord, that I know that you're going to give us the understanding that everything really is okay. So all those fears we have, we pray that we'll bring those back to you and you'll make us courageous. And where our foot's slipping because somebody else is getting promoted and we're not, that you'll help us there. And those areas where we think we're so smart, all that, that you'll put us back on solid footing of who you are. I thank you for